You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
For 40 years, David was a king in Israel. And unlike other people in the Bible, we have a lot of detail about David, his high points and his low points. And there was a lot of both. There's as many words in the Bible regarding David or from David as anybody. And he wrote most of the Psalms, and then, of course, his whole reign as king is, for those 40 years, there's just a lot in there. I want to focus on when David started today. When David began, you didn't know what he would be. You didn't know that he'd be 40 years king. You didn't know that he would be a great ruler. He would establish a kingdom in Jerusalem. You didn't know that he would write so many of the Psalms that we still read today, thousands of years later. But when he started, you couldn't see any of that. In fact, nobody did. And this is a message for people who have had limitations put on you. Because of life, because of yourself, because of others. The words of others, actions of others, where they tried to somehow limit you or keep you down. David, he had a lot of that. And he had a lot to overcome. And I think it's seen most clearly at the very beginning of his life story that we find in Scripture. Israel asked for a king. God didn't want them to have a king. He wanted to be their king. But they said, look, everyone else has a king. We want a king. And he says, okay, I'll give you a king, but they'll break your heart. And so God gave them Saul, every inch a king, head and shoulders taller than the rest. He began well, a valiant war. The Spirit of God fell on him. It was a powerful thing. But then sure enough, he broke their heart. And he began to go in some different ways. He got derailed. And so God spoke through the prophet. That's the way he spoke then, Samuel, and said, you're going to anoint a new king. And you're going to anoint him, and he's going to be one of the sons of Jesse. So go to Jesse's house and anoint the next king. Now, Jesse and his wife, they had 8 boys. And imagine the conversations they would have had about, well, which one is going to be the next king? The oldest, well, he's the oldest. He'd be a natural. Maybe the second one, he had great charisma. Oh, he could lead. The third, he'll look great on a quarter. He's a great-looking guy. And down the list they go, but it never occurred to them to invite the youngest, even into the lineup for Samuel to meet. And the youngest was, of course, David. And so Samuel shows up, and he's looking at each one, and sure enough, he's thinking like the parents. And when they arrive, Samuel saw Eliab, that's the oldest, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, watch this, don't consider his appearance, his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. And down the line they go, each one, and the Lord says, no, not that one. No, not that one. They get through all 7, and Samuel turns to Jesse and just says, is this it? And you can imagine the dad, maybe embarrassed, sheepish, just saying, well, there's one more. He's out in the field with the sheep. And I just imagine you're the brother, maybe the next oldest, and you're told it's like the walk of shame. You got to go get David from the field and say, I'll watch the sheep. And David, you know, he's the youngest, and we youngest, we're kind of proud. And so we're probably looking at him like, wait, you didn't get picked? Wait, they want to see me? I don't know. I'm just speaking as the youngest. He shows up, and sure enough, he's the one. And Samuel anoints him with oil, and he's anointed that day to be king. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord fell on him. Now, the government didn't rest on his shoulders at that point. He was still just a kid. But he was anointed. He's the heir to the throne, according to God. But isn't it interesting, this fact that David went on to do great things, but his own father didn't think he had king potential. Never even invited him to the lineup. And the rest of his life, he could have held his head down and just said, my dad didn't believe in me. My dad didn't even invite me to the lineup. My brothers, they thought he would. Nobody thinks I'm. You don't ever see that. He had a lot of reason to hang his head, and his own parents didn't think much of him. I mean, isn't it reassuring to know that God values us for who we truly are, not for what others see us to be? Well, you fast forward a little bit in the story, Israel's at war with the Philistines. This was their arch rival, their enemy, and this was a very dark time in Israel. And one day of battle, Jesse sends David with some food for his brothers. So David is alone with the sheep. He's not even invited to battle. He's too young. But he does get to be an errand boy, if you will, and deliver food. And when he shows up there, they're hiding. They're hiding behind rocks. And he comes and he finds his older brother and he says, what are we doing? Now look what his brother says. Why'd you come down here? It's such an older brother, by the way. Can I just say this? Why are you even down here? And who have you left those few sheep with in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down here just to see the battle. You older brothers, why were you that way? What are you even doing here? He said, we're men, we're fighting. Give me that food and go back and watch those sheep. His brothers didn't think he had any warrior potential. You don't even belong here. You shouldn't even be at the front lines of the battle. His brothers saw him nothing more than an errand boy. Go back and be a shepherd. Go, play your harp or something. But we're doing battle here. And of course, they're not really doing battle, they're hiding. And he looks, and they're hiding as one man, one human, is standing before them. Just one. Now, it happens to be 9 feet tall. Really. But it's just one guy, and they're an army, and they're all paralyzed with fear. And David does the unthinkable. Even though his brothers didn't think he had potential, even though his dad didn't think he had potential, he says, I'll fight him. Well, King Saul hears that there's a warrior that wants to go up against Goliath. And I imagine King Saul and his military generals, them thinking, okay, which great warriors could this be? And remember, Saul, he's head and shoulders taller than the rest. And then they announce, okay, the warrior's coming in, and this is what he gets. David walks up. And so it's one of those situations. And David, with his chest out, says, let not man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go fight with the Philistine. You can just see this little guy. I'll do it. And Saul all but laughs at him and just says, look at his response. You are not able. That's what the king says. His first words, you are not able. And again, another limitation. Another reason to hang his head. Another reason just to cross his arms and just walk away and have a pity party. You are not able to go up against a Philistine and fight with him, for you're only a youth, and this guy's been a man of war since his youth. There's no way you can do this. It's gonna be this impossible task. You can't possibly go up against him. He's a champion of champions. And Saul did not think he had championship potential. Think of the limitations. At any point, David could have stopped and just said, no one believes in me, nobody cares. And so Saul thought, out of pity, well, if you're going to go, you don't have any armor, put my armor on. And of course, Saul is head and shoulders taller than the rest. His armor doesn't fit, which, by the way, Saul wasn't using his armor. It was available. It was clean. It was unused. He puts it on David, and he can't even walk in it. It's so heavy, it's so cumbersome. David didn't allow Saul to hinder him with either his low expectations or his armor. He went out to face Goliath just as he was. Let's keep going a little bit further. He goes to face Goliath. Maybe, I don't know, the nation of Israel started cheering. I don't know, but somehow a warrior comes out on the field against Goliath, and Goliath looks, and he's wondering, okay, what great warrior of Israel is gonna come and And look at how he reacts. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? You come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts. I'm not even gonna give you a decent burial. I'm gonna rip you to shreds and just throw your carcass to the animals. Goliath didn't think he had warrior potential. He didn't think he had opponent potential. And again, just think about all that stands against David. At any point, he could have just stopped, taken my sling and stones and just gone home. But he kept going. He kept going forward. He kept pressing in. Goliath despised David. He thought this boy wasn't even worthy of a proper burial. I heard it said once, the caliber of a person can be determined by what it takes to discourage them. Are you one comment, negative comment away from quitting? One little criticism from somebody can just undo you completely. David is somebody who had a lot of things. His own father didn't even think to bring him to the lineup. His brothers, what are you doing here? King Saul, you are not able. Goliath, am I a dog? What is this? He kept going. He kept going. He kept going. He kept pressing on. He refused to quit. He threw off all the limitations. And so we're in a series, and we're basing it on this powerful passage in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where it lists this great hall of fame of faith. And the picture is that of a stadium. And we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, like an arena. And they're all around us. That's the imagery we can get. And it's bigger than any stadium we've ever seen. There'd be millions. And the implication is that they're watching us run our race. They're seeing what we're doing. And it's very humbling, and it ought to be very accountable and give us courage to know they're cheering us on. The writer of Hebrews says, so in light of all this cloud, you know, throw off everything that would so easily entangle you. Give up sin and let's run our race. And we're just pretending in this series, you know, the crowd is amazing, but what if individuals from the crowd, those that have gone before us, would run down the stairs and run a lap with us? And today, what if David, in light of especially just how he began, he just could run a lap with us and give us some words of wisdom. What might he say? And perhaps as he joins us in a lap, maybe he would say to us, limitations, they don't have to limit you. We've all got limitations. We've all had things said and we've done things and things that have been done to us that could serve as a lid into our life, but they don't have to limit us. They don't have to. It doesn't have to paralyze us. His father, his brothers, all the leaders, they thought he had no potential, but in reality, he had the greatest potential of all. He realized God's for me in this. I have God potential in this. And he remembered the day Samuel anointed him. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He understood, yeah, I'm the youngest. Yeah, I'm not the biggest guy. Yeah, I'm not a warrior with great experience. But God is with me. And if God is with me, what does it matter what's against me? He realized that God could strengthen him above any limitations, that God can strengthen him above anything that's limited him. It's amazing, even as adults, how things that were said to us when we were younger, we still think about it a lot. We dwell on it, some people do. We think about what others have said and we replay it in our mind, and it serves as a sort of stronghold in our life, holding us and keeping us down. David somehow, by God's grace, was able to break through those strongholds. Everyone has a reason to quit. Everyone has some reasons to crawl in a corner and get in a fetal position. Everyone has some things that have happened or been said to them that could easily limit them. When you see a successful person, when you see a dynamic Christ follower and you understand, the difference is they pressed on. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, one thing I do, I press on, not stopping. I'm not gonna be limited by this. I think David would say, you don't have to be be paralyzed to do this. He realized that God could strengthen him to rise above those limitations that others would try to place on him. He realized that God had called him. In fact, let's press in a little further on this. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who God called you to be. And this is big because oftentimes there's those that have gone before us and we feel like we need to fit into their shoes. We need to be like our dad or our mom. We need to be like those that have preceded us. And it's easy sometimes to feel like, well, that's the model. Well, you're not them. You are a unique and wonderful creation of God. And he made you to be the way you are. He's called you. You say, well, I'm not called. I just work where I work. No. If you're a Christian, you're called. There's a lot he's called you to. He's called you to be holy, to be righteous, to be biblically moral. He's called you to a life of faithfulness. He's called you to be light and salt in this world. We're all called. It's not like, well, I'm not a preacher or missionary, so I guess I get to do whatever I want with my life. No, friend. We're all called to something. And we have to understand that call and be content in that call. I remember when I came here at the church, I was honored to be here, and I'd been here 8 years, and they asked me to be pastor. I took over for a pastor who was so renowned. He was in his 70s. He was 73. I was 31. He was beloved. I was the new guy. I could write a book on how to lose 200 people quickly. Nobody was laughing then. Who's this guy? Where did we get him? I liked it better when we were this way. How come we're changing that? Oh, I heard it all. I heard it all. Every word, and just a limit. Whereas Pastor Boyne, he did the biggest thing. He grabbed my arm one day and he just said, don't build my church again. Build a church for your generation and the next ones that follow. We're still trying to figure that out. Trying to get ahead of that. But there are those that would constantly, small-minded people, who will put a limit on you and try and shape you into something that you're not. And you know the old adage, you try and make everyone happy, soon you make no one happy, and you yourself are miserable. And David understood, no, I've got something here. God's called me to be something, to do something. I'm gonna be who God called me to be. And what a beautiful thing that ended up being. We're still talking about it. He wants you to be that person. Now, I think David would also say to us, I love this thing. When you rise above your limitations, you can help others. Well, they can do the same. You remember that day on the battlefield, all of Israel was hiding because of Goliath. And here David, he stepped out and he fought Goliath and he defeated Goliath. And he never realized how that one victory would become Israel's victory. And the moment Goliath fell, the Philistines were filled with fear and Israel was filled with courage because he was willing to step out. It was amazing how others stepped out. I love this picture because there's oftentimes people who say, well, you don't understand. In my family, we're always this way. Or it's always been this way. Or I've always been this way. And somehow there's a godly moment of courage and the Holy Spirit descends and somebody steps out of the pack and says, well, as for me and my house, it's gonna be this way. Well, here's what's gonna look like going forward. I'm not gonna be limited. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna move out in a new direction. Why not? Why not? And when you do, yeah, there'll be opposition, but it's amazing how so many other people draw courage from it. Israel routed the Philistines that day, all because he was willing to step out. The kid, the shepherd, the errand boy, he stepped out and the whole army drew courage from it. I wonder who is gonna draw courage from you. I wonder who's gonna watch your life and say, wow, just the way they live their life, the way they're walking out their faith. When I see them, it gives me courage. It inspires me to live a certain way. David, I think he learned that great leadership lesson that day. People follow the example of their leader. That's exactly what he did. And when he accomplished more than anyone thought possible, well, so did Israel that day. Here's maybe another statement. Maybe the last statement as he rounds this lap with us. When you face your giant, don't just knock it down. Kill it. Somebody needs this today. Let's read the story a little bit. And David said to the Philistine, so he's in the battlefield. You've all heard the story, David and Goliath. Watch this. You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty God and the armies of Israel. And just look at this for a moment. There's coming a day, some of you know this, where you're going to need this. We live in a sorry, dark, broken world, and sin has ravaged our world. And there's coming a day when a man and a or a woman of God need to take a stand. And when you do, it's not because you feel so strong. It's not because you're filled with courage. It's because you know there is righteousness and there is a holy God who is for you and not against you. And when you take a stand, you're standing in the name of the Lord God Almighty. There's a point coming, there's a point in your life and in your journey when you have to stand against evil. You have to take a stand in your household. You have to stand against some corruption or unrighteousness. And your battle, you understand, you're making a holy stance. And David understood that day. I am fighting you, I'm gonna come up against you, but I come in the name of the Lord. And I love this image. I learned growing up, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There are strongholds in this world. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. You say, ooh, that seems kind of weird. It's real. There's evil in this world. And oftentimes that evil, the back of that evil gets broken when somebody can stand in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just stand. That's what he does. He goes on. This day, he says to Goliath, the Lord will deliver you into my hands and I will strike you down and I will cut off your head. This very day, I will give your carcasses to the Philistine army, to the birds, the wild animals. And so the Philistine moved closer to attack him. And I love this part. And David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it. And he struck the Philistine on the forehead. And David ran and he stood over him and he took a hold of the Philistine's sword, probably as big as he was, and he drew it from its sheath. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. He says, gross. Well, it's in the Bible. Now, there's certain things in my life that have come against me that I've had no trouble just cutting off its head and just saying, absolutely not, get thee behind me, Satan. But there's other things. I knock it down, but I don't destroy it. You know, like a dog, some of you have hunter dogs and they catch a bird or a squirrel and they like keep it alive and they like toy with it. I know it's gross. David did something very interesting here. And in fact, when you read the whole story, he took the head with him. As if to remind everyone the next day, you discouraged? I wonder if there's something in your life, you know it's wrong, you know it's bad for you, but you leave it there. And it's resurrecting, it's coming back. And you would say you're against it, you're not for it, but it's there. And you're aware of it. And I just wonder if we've knocked some things down that the Lord would say, in the name of Jesus, you need to be done with that. You need to have victory. You need to be an overcomer. I didn't call you to keep that thing around, but to turn and run from that thing. Because it can destroy you, it can hurt you. And we sometimes toy with some things that we have no business toying with. I think David might say there was power in that. He was dead when the stone hit him, for sure. But I wasn't letting him get up, just in case. What enemy in your life defies God? It clobbers you every time. When you approach it with your own strength. You see, when I focus on the giant, when I focus on myself and my strength, I'm toast. I'm not strong enough. But when I focus on God and I trust in Him, nothing can stand. As I close, I want to remind you, when David first came to the battle scene and his brother was saying, "What are you doing here?" David has a conversation with his older brother, and I love how it says it in the King James Version. He looks at his brothers, they're all hiding, and he just says, "Is there not a cause? Yeah, he's big. Yeah, we may all die. But isn't there a cause or a reason to stand? Is there never a reason? When something deeper has to come out of us and say, yeah, he may slay me, but I'm not gonna let him defile my God that way." And everybody else, they saw the giant, 9 feet tall, and they said, "Oh, I don't wanna fight him. Looks like he could kill us all." And they just saw his power, and they said, "How could we win?" David, all he could see is his God and God's power. And when he saw God and God's power, he looked at Goliath and said, "How could we lose? Greater is my God than any adversary that would come against me." Is there not a cause? Is there not ever a reason when you just should stand up against it? If David would have focused on the size of Goliath, he would have concluded the same thing everyone else had. He was just a kid shepherd boy. But instead, he focused on his God and said, "True, I'm weak compared to him. But when I am weak, he's strong. He's strong." You got a giant in your life? You got something that just seems like, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. Trust. The Lord knows exactly where you're at, but you're not alone. You're not fighting that thing alone. That addiction, you're not fighting it alone. There's a higher power in the name of Jesus Christ that's greater than that giant in your life. You've been battling loneliness and depression. You've been just fighting just with your own mind. I understand. But know this, you're not fighting alone. There's a God who's for you. There is a counselor and a teacher who is coming alongside of you. You're not alone. Your marriage just feels like, I don't think we can get out of this circle of pain. You can in the name of Jesus. Not if you just keep doing what you're doing. But listen, there's power in the name of the Lord. Take on that giant. Watch what he can do. You just can't do it alone. Is there not a cause worth fighting for? Is there not a cause? And my concern is that somebody has given up on the fight. And you've forgotten and you've just lost the cause and you've just given in. We're hiding behind rocks and saying life is good. It's not what we're called to be. We're to be more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Victorious in Christ Jesus. He's the glory and the lifter of our head. Not our own battle record, because we know he's behind us. And if he's for us, what could be against us? Stand together with me.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.